Man, every one of us want to finish, don't we? But how do we finish? I remember there used to be a bunch of people sitting right over here and right here and back there. Where are they? Who's going to answer? How are we going to finish? I have a buddy that's a high school basketball coach in one of our inner cities in Tulsa. And how tough it is in the school system. He had to go pick up the players because they didn't have transportation. And then whenever he'd pick them up, guess what they are? They're hungry. Spent a couple of hours of practice. Guess what they are now? Again, hungry. So I had to feed them twice and take them home just to have a team. And then not even enough to have a practice. And most of us here today, that in a way you had your sports team, was it? There's plenty of people competing for an opportunity to play the great game. Man, I'm blessed. Look at all my great cards. A wonderful Bible teacher gave these to me. Said, teaching Jesus. And what age is this? Where's my teacher? Pre-K through what?
Second grade.
Man, if this doesn't charge you to help you to continue to finish, and a beautiful coloring on this, we love you and thank you. And man, all the artwork that's on here, we love you. Thank you for teaching Jesus. And here's the last one. We love you. We love Jesus. And we love you and thank you for teaching Jesus. And then on, where's the back? I forgot the back. But anyway, man, I'll read them again. That's the third time I've already read them. And I'll read them again, won't I? But how do you and I finish? I'm walking with this. I stop at the bus stop, our local transportation in Tulsa. And I see this clown, and so I ask him where he's headed. And he's headed to a restaurant on the other side. If you've been to Tulsa, and most of you have, on the other side of Tulsa at around the mall, Woodland Hills Mall. Alright, it'd take us 20 minutes by car from where I saw him. But he's going to have to get on that bus, and he's going to have to go downtown, and there's one stop, and then he'll have two more stops before he even gets there. So that's going to take him an hour, maybe. And he's staying at a motel that cost him $25 a night, and it's full of syringes and prostitution and alcohol and anything you want. And it's free, but if you want to pay, and you'll get it. And he used to haul some clowns out of there and bring them to the assembly. So this guy, he's making $15 a day, but what does it cost in his motel? $25 a night, and he's not making it. And so he's struggling with alcohol and addiction, and so we develop a plan. And I take him to 12 and 12. It's a rehab place where he can dry out, where he can get some help. And so I drop him off, and I said, hey, I can't come back and get you, because he was hoping they'd keep him there. And at our building, like right here, you've got a place over here where the ladies dress, change, to baptize them into Christ. You got a place for the men, don't you? You're scriptural. Okay, so we put his stuff inside one of our changing rooms. And man, it stunk. It stunk bad. But I'm not concerned about the odor. I'm concerned about his heart and him finishing. So I take him to 12 and 12 and drop him off. And I said, I can't be back till 2 o'clock because I've got a Bible study and I'll see you later. So I came back 2 o'clock. He's laying on a couch. He said, hey, I got a hot meal out of the deal anyway. He said, they wouldn't take me. I said, how come? Because he has a warrant for his arrest. What does that mean? They're looking for him. They're going to lock him up, aren't they? They're going to lock him up because he hadn't been doing what he's supposed to do, hadn't paid his bills, he's driving illegal, and all that other stuff that he doesn't want to do. I said, what's plan B? He said, head me to the jailhouse. So we head to jail. I said, how much is your fine? He said, $600. Immediately I thought, I know plenty of people I could call and they trust me. I could call some of you and said, I need $600. And you'd write the check. You'd send it. You'd get it to me somehow. We'd take care of it. But that's not going to help him, is it? So I parked my car downtown, parked my car, and as we're walking towards the courthouse, he stops and he turns and looks at me. He said, Ron, why do you do this? So why do I do what? Why do you help me? Why do you help us? Because you didn't grow up this way. I said, how do you know? But you hear the question that he asked? Why do you help? Why do we help? And a guy in the communion service, the lesson there, the Bible class in this class. Why do we help? Why does God even care about me? But he wants us to finish, just like that tape right there, just like that PowerPoint. And the guys out front, what about all those folks back there that are limping spiritually? And they haven't had anybody come by and pray with them. How many times have you pulled up to an elder's house, parked outside and prayed? I don't go inside and scare them and pray with them. Don't call them over the phone and say, hey, Hoss, I want to pray with you. Don't do that one. Don't scare them that way. But how many times have we done that? I mean, every time I hear that cat right there talking about praying, what's so skinny with praying? It's all about finishing. In my relationship to my Father, do I really want to finish? Am I interested in finish? Did I sign up to finish? Did I sign up to just see who's there? Look at the next slide. Notice the heart and the tree on the right-hand side. Notice the heart on the other side, on the left-hand side. Which heart do you want to be? You see the one on the ugly side, what does it say? Self-reliant, mistrust, loner. You know any loners? You know anyone with that inward focus, that escapism? This summer we had three camps. The last two camps, youth groups come in and they serve and we have a camp at Contact. And I'm visiting with this guy from Canadian, Texas, and they've been coming for 8 or 10 years, and they support Contact financially. And he started talking. He said, you know what, Ron, even though we support Contact financially, there's more than just supporting Contact financially. I said, what are you talking about? It was a lady walking by. He said, hey, Sarah, what has changed in your life since you've been coming to Contact, to Camp Contact? She said, I wouldn't be a loner any longer. I'm no longer shy. I'm no longer a loner. Now I've decided I know what I want to study in college, and she's going to be a freshman this fall at a university. And now I know because I got involved with people. You hear the finishing line? Get involved with people and encourage that guy to come on and encourage that lady to finish. And all the time we're helping ourselves what? Finish. I've got a buddy in here today that's a real estate clown. And what does he do on every sale? Helps finish. Finish that sale because it's a win-win for who? But does he back off and say, oh, we got a couple of weeks, we got a couple of months? No, he wants to finish every sale. Amen? And he's going to work hard at it. What about us helping people finish the race? Which heart do you want to be? Notice the difference when we come to the Christ and we come to the cross. Notice the water that's flowing and you've got a piece of paper in your hand. You got it? Everybody get a piece of paper that says finish. We're going to have a test, so you need to fill it out. Don't cheat. But every one of us want to finish, don't we? But how do you and I finish? And my man that I took to jail, and now he's preaching 3 days a week at recovery places. And now he's finishing. Does he still struggle? Yes, sir, he struggles. That's the letter S on that piece of paper you've got in your hand. Struggles. Is that ever going to change? And we'll probably get more struggles, won't we? Because we want to finish, but in that struggling life, it's going to help us keep our focus or we're going to go the other direction. I show up in at a family's home and I'm reading the word, and there's a lady on the couch that's she's in bad shape and she shouldn't be there. She'd been in a nursing home and her son brought her over there to take care of her. She's sound asleep. And I visit, we talk about the weather, we talk about all this, and then all of a sudden I start reading the word. I'm reading the word and all of a sudden she gets up. I mean, she's right in the middle of my business and she's saying things and she's got some bad language going on. Her son gets up and says, "I'm going to slap you right back in that nursing home, you blankety blank and you blankety blank," and all that nasty going on right there. How can that family finish? Because that guy doesn't think that the blood of the Lamb will forgive him of his ugly, his nasty, his ugly life, his former life, his... He doesn't think God will forgive him. Here's the good news of that. I prayed and I left. He escorted his mama to a bedroom and told her, "You stay in here." I couldn't believe how he was treating his mom. But you know why he's showing disrespect to his mom? Because he said, "Ron, my dad was a preacher. I was 14 years old. And after services, my dad would take me over to one of the ladies' house, and he'd go to the bedroom. And you know the rest of the story. He'd come out of that bedroom and he'd say, "Son, you're next." That's how he grew up. He said, "I had no respect for my dad. I had no respect for preachers. I had no respect for my mom." But how can the cross of, and his heart is a fear of man, self-centered and pride, and his reliance on God hasn't arrived yet. Which heart do you want to have? And I want that beautiful tree that I can finish. And I can finish strong. And I want to be able to introduce somebody up there with me as I'm at the pearly gates and saying, "Lord, I want you to meet." Because I spent 10 years, I spent 20 years, and I spent all this time because I want them to have that same kind of heart. And I want them to finish. How about you? And that's one of the avenues to help us to finish strong, to go the distance. Letter F, let me pray and we'll continue. All right? Father, we want to go the distance because the race is long and it's tiring. And sometimes we want to quit. We don't want to take the baton. Sometimes we don't want to lead. Sometimes we don't want to teach. And sometimes we don't even want to show up because somebody's going to talk and somebody's going to say something and somebody's going to make fun. But God, help us to go the distance. Please give us courage and help us to never forget that you went the distance. Thank you for this family and thank you for forgiveness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Notice the scriptures on our paper. Psalm 130, "Help, God, I've hit rock bottom. Master, hear my cry for help. Listen hard. Open your ears. Listen to my cries for mercy." I pause right there because I want to come back. She called me at 7 o'clock Friday night. She said, "Ron, I'm in Cleveland and I need to get to Pawhuska." And I knew the route that she's taking, and I knew it's going to take 45 miles from Cleveland to Pawhuska. She's got to go meet with the popo, take care of some fines, set up some arrangements, but she's got to go. And she's walking. I don't want her walking. And I don't need to be hauling her bones either. But I need to haul her bones. Then she calls me from Pawhuska. She said, "Ron, I'm trying to figure out how to get to Muskogee." And how long is it to take from Pawhuska? It's an hour from here, from Tulsa to Pawhuska. And we're going from Pawhuska to Muskogee, and it's an hour plus from Tulsa to Muskogee. Amen? How can she finish? And she said, Ron, I don't want to walk at night. Why? But she wanted to finish. And I want to. We've got four interns with us right now, and I wanted to take those four interns with me. But I knew they was going to go out of town Friday night, and I wouldn't be back in time Friday night. It'd be 9:10 o'clock, starting that morning or that afternoon, whatever it was. But she still wanted to finish. Next time I come back, I'll tell you the rest of the story. That's a Paul Harvey. The letter F, at every one of us love, and it's a challenge, and that's the word faith. You know of people in the Word that were people of faith. I love Moses. And how many times he went to God, God, I'm sick and tired of these people. I want you to, man, get me out of this. But he still had what? He never. I love Caleb. How old? Oh, Caleb's 85 years of age, and he thought he was 25, didn't he? He didn't know the difference. The man of faith. How about the man called Abraham? Man, I love Genesis 22. When God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and take him up there in an altar and put him on that altar, set him on fire. And old Isaac is 17 years of age. I remember when I was hip, slick, cool, and out of sight at age 17. And I wouldn't be going up on that mountain with my dad and knowing, but I'd ask those questions, and he'd have probably drugged me to get up there. And looking around, where's the sacrifice? But we see the man of faith, the men of faith, and the women of faith all the way through the New Testament. You know, that helps me to finish. The letter I is initiative. Boy, it's hard to teach someone and they don't have any initiative. Is that true? How many times in my life I don't want to do it and I'm not going to provide any initiative? I'm not going to be a self-starter if I don't want to do it. I'm visiting with this young man and he asked his sister, when are you going to get baptized? I don't know. And you know what's going on in that family right there? They got a mom. They don't know anything about any dad. They don't know that structure of family. They don't know that structure of home, of a husband and wife, of mom and dad, of somebody working and being a bread. They don't know that. And mom's door is open to the men who'll show up for whatever purposes she has for them. So what's she teaching them? Why should the little girl become a Christian? What's she watching mom do? And then one thing that I do not like to hear. They don't call her mom. They call her her first name. That may be all right to you, but it's... I just hate hearing a kid saying, hey, Agnes. Hey, Nita. I'd rather see some respect. Amen. Letter I is initiative. My man was a powerful self-starter. When I'm coaching a track team and he's running a 220 and he's going to hand that baton because we got four runners in that 440 relay and that curve right there. Every time we had a track meet at our place, the wind's blowing 750 miles an hour coming, and as soon as you hit on that curve right there, that wind hits you, and it wipes out every one of those players but mine. He doesn't know it. Because that letter S, the struggles are going to be there, and he knows it, and he's ready to tackle them, and he hits that curve, and that wind hits him, and he shoots ahead of everybody, and we bring home victory. They bring home victory because somebody worked through that struggle of that win. And that's us, isn't it? Of working through it and staying faithful with one another, staying faithful to the Christ. My buddy would sit out in the car drinking coffee. He drank a whole pot of coffee. He must have taken a whole pot with him. While the people inside, he's getting them up out of bed, and he's waiting for them to get dressed, waiting for them to take a shower, just to bring them to church. Did you hear that? Just to bring them to church. That gal who told me that story comes in our building Thursday, and she tells me that story. She'd been married 30 years, and she needed some cash. I said, here's the skinny. Got a job for you. Going to do a little bit of work. And the second part of that job, you're going to be back here next Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to read the word. Is that a deal? That's a deal. Let's go see your husband. So I went out to meet her husband. She's telling me that story that happened 25 years ago of how this man, because he's finishing the race, and he wasn't going to give up. He doesn't know how to give up. Because there's that self-starter and that initiative. Faith and initiative and that nobility. Man, I love that one, don't you? And his name is Joseph. And they sold him for a $20 bill. And I didn't like Joseph. Why? Because he stuck with it. We don't read of any time that he's complaining about his lot in life. He loved his family. He loved his dad. He loved his brothers. But he never griped about his lot in life, did he? I don't recall if he did. And they threw him in jail. And they'd say, and those guys would get out. And he said, hey, remember my name. J-O-S-E-P-H. Because I can tell you what that dream means. A man of nobility. The letter I. We've got faith. We've got initiative. We've got nobility. Man, I need that nobility. And the letter I is invest in yourself. And you know the scripture where Jesus said he grew in wisdom and stature. And what's the next one? And favor. Man, how powerful is that one? And favor with God and man. Because he was a man of nobility. He invested in others. He invested in himself. I remember a guy that started a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. And he would go to these large cities and start the Campus Crusade for Christ. And before he would ever do it, he would fast 40 days and 40 nights before he'd do the crusade. He's 80 years old, and he's fasting 40 days and 40 nights to get ready. He said, how can I preach Jesus when I haven't fasted? You hear a man of nobility and investing in himself and in the lives of others. Faith, initiative, and that nobility. And that investment in ourselves. And we've already seen the struggles. And we've got them. We'll always have them, won't we? I love the Olympics. And they're showing up. It's sad you can't have the spectators. But I love the Olympics. And I'll never forget the high dive. And this gal would get up to the platform. And she'd wave to her family. And smile. Because nobody ever does that. When they're supposed to be focused. And she'd wave and she had a great smile. Then she'd step to the end of that platform and do her number. And she ended up with a gold medal. But you know what we found out after she won that gold medal? Laura Wilkerson had a broken foot. And she's on the top of that rung with her feet hanging over and bouncing up and down and with a broken foot. But her focus was to what? Finish. Even with the struggles. The letter H is help or honk. You've already heard that one, haven't you? I've got another one down below that I'm going to have you write down there. Okay? Help or honk. You remember that story. You'll never forget that story. And that lady, her car dies and the light turns green. And she cranks it again. what's going on behind her. A clown back there, honking the horn. She hits it again. Nothing. What goes on behind her? She hits it again, honking behind her. So what does she do? Gets out of the car, goes over there and knocks on his window. He rolls it down, said, "Excuse me, sir, won't you trade places with me? If you start my car, I'll honk a horn." We've done that, haven't we? We've done that. Say, won't they get out of the way? Don't they know I'm in a hurry? I need to be there. Am I helping or am I honking? What does that have to do with this family? What does that have to do with finishing? Because we know that Jesus finished the task. I'll never forget the man that I met in Czechoslovakia as we're giving out Bibles. And this guy traveled 2 hours. 2 hours. I don't know how many buses that he had to transfer 2 hours to get there. And as soon as he's standing in line waiting to receive his Bible, he finally got up there to me and he did this. He got out on his knees. And I handed him the Bible. He bowed. And he said, "Thank you." He did that 4 or 5 times. And he kept saying, "Thank you. Thank you." How many Bibles do we have? He wanted to finish. And then he left. And you know what I didn't do that I should have done? I should have put my arm around him and what? Prayed. Man, that's so easy to do, isn't it? So easy to do. Instead of me honking, I want to be in a helping business. I want to get on the phone and they don't answer, but I'm going to pray. Amen? What's going to happen when you and I start doing that instead of hammering somebody? Under that last letter, help or honk, I want you to write down the letter P. P is in Paul. Spell it out, P-A-U-L. So here's our homework. Paul's the new man here, isn't he? But he's not the new man. You've known him 10 years or better. Now he's taking on a different role. Guess what kind of responsibilities he has? To feed. But here's the skinny. Are we going to get on board and help? Are we going to get on board and help? Are we going to serve alongside, say, "Hey, Paul, I want to help"? Or am I going to be in the honking business? Every time he says something I disagree with him, I'm going to be in the honking business. How about us being in the praying business? Amen. Hey, Paul, I haven't prayed with you today. Let's pray today. How many people are going to show up in his office and say, "Hey, Paul, let's pray"? And then leave. Instead of honking, let's be in the praying. Let's build a family of God right here. Right here. How about doing it with the deacons? How about doing it with the Bible class teachers? You see all the teachers that run around here and are teaching a class. What about me and you showing up and said, "Hey, I want to pray with you and your class"? And then you need to have some oxygen ready. Has that ever happened? It can start, can't it? If I take the initiative to do it, instead of thinking about my weaknesses, I love the phrase, I forgot his name, it started it, "Carry your weather with you." Most places that I go to, they tell me, say, "Babbitt, why do you go there? Why do you go there?" I visited with Anita's, one of her grandsons. One of the last funerals we had right here. One of her grandsons, that's a popo. And I asked him, "Were you hanging out?" Because he's a popo in Tulsa. He said, "Hey, I was hanging out on your side of town." I said, "Why didn't you come see me?" "You only come to see me because I'm in trouble? You need to come see me." I told him where I was hanging out. Here's what he said. "Preachers don't go there." Why do you say that? He knows the level of the field. He knows the temperature of everybody where he's confronted with. You know what I need to do? I need to ride with him. It's not about me. It's about finishing. Do I want that guy to finish? Do I want to help him finish? Do I want to help her finish? And say, come on, let's finish. It starts with a hand clap. You know, clapping them on. Say, come on, you can do it. And we stand on the sidelines and we love it. One of the things we do at camp, we have a tunnel. And the kids get off of the van and they go down through the tunnel from here to that door. And you line up with all these kids. And all these kids are screaming and hollering. And what are they doing? And they look up for their buddy. Every kid that comes to camp has a buddy. And that kid that's coaching and loving that buddy, guess how that buddy feels at the end of the day, at the end of day three, at the end of day four. And then they come up to me the next week and said, hey, Ron, I want to see my buddy. Well, your buddy is now in Blanchard. Your buddy now is in Chickasha. Your buddy is now in Canadian. Your buddy is now in Austin, Texas. Your buddy is now in Little Rock, Arkansas. Your buddy is in Poto, Oklahoma. But they made that connection because they want that son or that little boy or little girl to finish. Because they're going to go back to what they don't have, and that is a home. Let me encourage you to finish. Amen. We're going to struggle, but we can be noble in the process, can't we? We can be a self-starter for the Lord. Amen. And we can honor God. Let's pray. Thank you for forgiveness, God. I want to be humble like that guy that traveled for 2 hours just to get a Bible, not knowing where to even start reading, because he needed someone to come alongside, as many, many, many people have come alongside us to teach us, to show us, to love us, and to remind us, and that word sometimes we don't like, and that's accountability. But God, help us to have a stronger accountability with you every day. Thank you for this family. Thank you for hope of heaven. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing. And you went too long.